So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, let's read this again, and I want to just really think about it. We're going to talk about this verse a little bit. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Does anybody know what the word reconcile means? To reconcile. To reconcile a situation means it's out of whack, something's wrong, but you're going to bring it back into harmony. Something has gone wrong with the relationship, but now we're going to get it all put back like it never happened. You know, husband and wife, they get mad at each other, they file for divorce, they split up, and then all of a sudden they want to reconcile. They want to go back and be married again, and they want to act like it never happened. And so they want to make a reconciliation. They want to make things right, and they want to have a relationship again. Reconciling something really is a relationship word. It really speaks of coming back into agreement with each other, to be reconciled. Got some differences going on, something's matter, something's wrong. Let's get reconciled. So God is what he's saying in this verse. Paul's writing to this church, and he's saying that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. When did God reconcile the world unto himself? In other words, when was everyone forgiven of all their sins? When was every sin that was ever committed forgiven? There was a moment that it happened. Think about it. We know that God was in Christ. That's something we all believe. God was in Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. He's God's DNA. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. She conceived a baby by the Holy Spirit. So we know that Jesus' bloodline was not the bloodline of Adam. His bloodline and lineage is God. God is literally his father. And if you study biology, you know that that baby in the mother's womb, the blood that's in that baby's body does not come from the mother, it comes from the father. That's biological fact. So when you understand that, and you understand that the blood that was in the baby that was born of this human being was half God and half man, and he did not have the nature of Adam, he was not under the curse that Adam had, was pronounced on Adam, but he was born a Jew under a Jewish covenant. He was born a Jew and had legal rights through Mary to a Jewish covenant that God himself had cut with a man named Abraham. And he was operating under that Jewish covenant. See, we don't really understand covenant, but covenant is a very powerful, powerful governing force, and God honors covenant. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. I want to show you a verse that's so important. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 11 and 12. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision. See, the token of the covenant was the circumcision of Abraham's foreskin. There was shedding of blood. The animals were the shed blood that represented God, his creation. And the shedding of the blood of the man's foreskin, there was shedding of blood. It was a blood covenant that God made with Abraham. And so from then on, the Jewish nation was known as a covenant people. Because on the eighth day, every male child was circumcised, the shedding of blood in that man, that male body. Token of the covenant being passed on to the next generation. Every male child was going to pass that blood covenant to the next seed That baby, male baby, would be the one who would plant and impregnate the seed of covenant into the next family. So God honors covenant, and he's honored the Jewish people. That's why they're called his chosen people, because they're blood covenant people. But we were not a part of the Jewish covenant. We're Gentiles outside of this covenant. And that's what this verse is referring to. It's saying that, remember, you being in time past Gentiles. See, there was a time past you weren't covenant. But because of the circumcision of your heart through the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood covenant that he has cut, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm telling you, we now have been grafted in through Christ. We are covenant to God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you were in past, you weren't connected to God at all. And it says, in the flesh, we were past times Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. See, that covenant, that representation of generational ties to God's Abrahamic covenant is a very, very important thing to the Jewish nation. It is a very significant part of where we are today. Because Jesus was circumcised the eighth day, and he was a Jew. And God, and he operated his whole entire ministry under the Jewish Abrahamic covenant. But he also operated as a son of God. But he had stripped himself of his deity to be a human being. Totally relying on the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to operate in the earth as a man representing us. Being prepared by God to be our high priest. But let's read on. Verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ. See, if you're not circumcised in your heart, you're without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Many covenants, but I'll tell you something, the old covenant was really all the earth had. They were the Jewish nation, have the only nation on earth who had contact and had a covenant with Almighty God. The only nation. Many nations were on earth, but they were the only, they were God's chosen covenant people. And as long as they kept the covenant, there wasn't an army strong enough to come against them. As long as they kept the covenant, God was their provider. He was their protector. He was their shield, their buckler, their exceeding great reward. He watched over them. He protected them, and he blessed them. The richest nation in the world. But when they broke covenant, they were taken away to Babylon. The temple was destroyed, the most magnificent building that had ever been resurrected. Destroyed, laid to ruins. And then it happened again in 70 AD. But now, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Why is this? Why do you hear about blood so much? What is it about this blood covenant? Because the Bible says, the Word of God declares that the life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. Remember when Abel was slain by Cain and God said, his blood is crying out to me? There's something about blood. And I'll tell you something else just as a side note. The blood of these innocent babies in America are crying out to God. I think that blood of those little innocent children are not crying out. The blood is speaking. Pray that America changes. Verse 14, for he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. There's that word reconcile again. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. When did God reconcile the world? By the cross. And thank goodness Jesus does not have to come down ever again and go through that whole process again. It was done once and for all. God has reconciled the world to himself. As far as I can understand from what I read in the Word and my study, is that there's nothing keeping the sinner from coming to God. God considers them forgiven. God considers them reconciled. Mankind has been reconciled back to him. Now it's not really a sin issue anymore. It's a sinner issue. It's getting people, getting the revelation to them and the Word of God into them to see that they don't have to go to hell now. That God has already dealt with anything that separates them from God. It's already been dealt with, and now they just got to do is come and accept Jesus. Remember the story I tell about my dad? I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear about it. Well, it's offensive to people. But if you ever wake them up, and God gets a hold of them, they will run to God. They will run to God. And Jesus doesn't have to come down and die for them. All they got to do is just come to God. See, all they got to do is just, he's the mediator of this new covenant, this new testament. Jesus is there waiting on every single sinner that lives on this and breathes on this earth right now to come to him, and he'll mediate for them and say, here they are. I'm bringing them into the new birth. I'm going to make them a new creature. They literally will become a new creature in Christ Jesus. He's the mediator. He is the one seated at the right hand of the Father mediating this new covenant. See, sinners get redeemed, reconciled. The moment they accept Christ, they get redeemed. They get reconciled to God. They find out they get this old stony heart taken out. They get a new heart of flesh. They get born again. They become a new creature in Christ. They accept God as their, Jesus as their Savior. And they have this revelation that God is really God, and now I'm forgiven and I've been redeemed, and the blood of Jesus has totally washed away every sin I ever did, ever committed, and I stand in the presence of God completely reconciled, healed. My heart is made right. I'm a new creature now. Old things pass away, all things become new. I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Satan no longer is my God. He's no longer my father. Now God is my new father. And I have now the spirit of adoption in me. I've been given a new way of life. You know, that's what the new birth is really all about. Getting people into the kingdom. Because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. So now we have God is our Father. We've been circumcised with a circumcision, not with hands, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have a new identity. We now are a citizen of a new country, heaven. Heaven is now your new country, your home place. It's now your homeland. And I mean, it's not going to happen. It happened the minute you accepted Jesus. Every sin was completely wiped away. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. Because you have to get a revelation of that Jesus literally obeyed God in everything. And God was in Christ when he was nailed to that tree. And it was God's blood that was shed. And it was God's blood that he presented at the real mercy seat. See, God's blood, God took his own blood into heaven for me. Eternal blood. See, this is an eternal covenant. Eternal blood is still there. He knows what he's done. People just don't know what he's done. They don't have a revelation or recognize that it's already been done. It's an eternal covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. It was done 2,000 years ago. We've been reconciled to God. The whole human race was reconciled to God in Christ. Isn't that awesome to know? There's not a sin problem anymore. There is a sinner problem. Men love darkness rather than light. Therefore, they don't want to come to the light. They don't want to come to God. My daddy threw a fit. He said, I don't want to hear it. I heard that for I don't know how long. It seemed like years. Every time I had to go see my daddy, I said, Daddy, you're 60-some years old. You need to give your heart right to Jesus. Jesus is coming. One day, the Holy Spirit moved on me, and I just had a flat-out screaming, jumping fit right there in the kitchen or living room, wherever I was. And I said, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it. Then you can just forget heaven, Daddy, and you'll go straight to hell. Because in heaven, you wouldn't be happy. Because in heaven, all you hear in heaven is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Your heart ain't right if you don't want him here. You're going to go to hell. Because in hell, you won't have to worry about hearing about Jesus. But in heaven, heaven wouldn't be heaven to you, Dad. Heaven would not be heaven to you. I'm just jumping up and down screaming at my dad. His eyeballs got this big around and his mouth flew open. And he never again, ever, ever, ever said, I don't want to hear about Jesus. I know I drove my family nuts because I wouldn't even put a cert in my mouth without saying, thank you, Jesus. I bless this cert. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Or I take a bite of food. I say, thank you, Jesus. I come to eat. I got to bless this. Can I bless this, please? I stand up and I pray until the power of God would fall on the kitchen or over that table. Yeah, they thought, yeah. But he never again told me he didn't want to hear about Jesus. And my dad lived to be about 86 and went to heaven. Had cancer of the liver at the age of 83. They told him he would live 2 weeks, three at the most, and God healed him. And he lived 3 more years. It was a miracle. It was the size of a grapefruit, metastasized to his liver. And I just went before the Lord, like Hezekiah, and I said, his heart ain't right. He needs more time to get his heart right. And every single day, just about for a while there, I kept calling him and said, Daddy, get your heart right. Get your heart right. God's giving you more time. Well, they just said I'm a tough old bird. I said, Daddy, it ain't about you being a tough old bird. I said, Jesus healed you. See how the devil blinds people? You see, it's the God of this world that's blinded the minds. Lest they see the revelation, the light of the gospel. But you know what? There's some really good news that we have authority over the enemy. We have authority because of the resurrection of Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. You see, the church has been preached for years and years been preached that we're just no good sinners. Christians will go to church and the pastors and preachers and teachers will beat them up and tell them how bad they are and how horrible they are. And they're just so sinners and they better get right and live right and be good. And, you know, being good is not what our salvation is about. I mean, if you serve in God, you want to please God. But your salvation has been purchased with a price. You're bought with a price. You've been redeemed, not with corruptible things, the silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. Jesus literally redeemed me. I am redeemed, and I'm reconciled to God. It is as though I've never sinned. It's as though, and if you've been redeemed, it's just like you've never sinned. Now, this is the thing. The devil is very smart, and he's an evil genius, and he knows how to keep us in sin consciousness. He knows how to hinder our prayers. If he can never get over to you the revelation that you've been reconciled to God, and you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and now you have access to the throne of God, and now you've got an audience with God. It's as though Jesus is standing in front of God, talking to God. Your prayers are just as powerful as Jesus' prayers, because he's your high priest, he's your mediator, and he's your intercessor, he's your advocate before the Father. He takes your prayers and makes them beautiful to God. He is his job as your high priest to intercede for you, and he prays for you, and he never is going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. It's you got the problem until you recognize that you've been made righteous. You don't have to work on it. It's a done thing. Isn't that good news? I couldn't be righteous if I tried to be righteous. I couldn't make myself righteous enough to enter into the throne of the Holy of Holies. Mankind cannot ever enter into that holy place without the blood of Jesus. Can't happen. Impossible. Can happen. But if you have a revelation that you are righteous and the enemy comes in, accuses you, and makes you feel, we're so sin conscious. We're so sin conscious. Believe me, I know my failings. I know my weaknesses. I know my yeah. I know me. And the enemy will beat you up. see what you did. You know what you did? You did this, you did that. I have learned one big thing in my walk with God is I know how to turn him off. I don't listen to him. I put a deaf ear to the devil. I don't let him drag me into the spirit of condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I understand how to walk in that. I have to. Because I'm not perfect. I'm not resurrected yet. I'm not in heaven yet. I'm still in this flesh. And my biggest issue is not so much the devil, but my old flesh. We all got to deal with our flesh. And you know what? Three things. What did God do in Christ? What did God do? We're talking about that. But then there's another thing that we have to have a complete revelation of. You get a revelation of this, you're on your way. Okay, that's number one. What did God do? The second revelation that we have to get is, what is the Holy Spirit doing in us through the power of the Word of God working in our spirit man and giving us revelation, knowledge of our authority as a body of Christ? And what is Jesus doing right now as our high priest? What is Jesus doing right now? Right now. Every day is a now. So I can't live in yesterday. I can't live in tomorrow. The only time I can occupy and live in is now. And so my now, he's my high priest right now. Therefore, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, who's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for me. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's got an eternal priesthood. How awesome is what we have? Don't we have something awesome? We need to understand what trouble he went to get this to us. And to finally have a revelation of it. And it's not enough just to know it up here. You got to know it in here. But this is the covenant, he said, I will make with the house of Israel after those days, the days of Christ's burial, death, and resurrection. All of that had to happen because God had not reconciled the world unto himself yet. But once he did that, now he can start really, really using the body of Christ, which is his body on the earth. You see, Jesus is not on the earth. We've had this misconstrued idea, been literally religiously brainwashed into thinking that we've got to talk God into doing everything we need him to do for us. Rather than having the revelation that it's the Holy Spirit that he's already given us, God is in me. God is in me, working his will in me through his revelation word, and he's giving me the authority to speak his word, calling those things that are not as though they are. See, the church is coming into her fullness. I believe before Jesus can come and get us, we've got to know who we are and be ready for him. Be completely ready. Be prepared, be dressed, be groomed, have our nail polish on, have our veil ready, get ourselves ready, and walk in some power. He's not coming for a bride that's got rips and tears and dirt and mud all over her, where the devil's beat us down and trotted on us. And you get beat up in church most of the time. I have been in church many years, and I mean, I've sat under ministries that just whipped you and whipped you into shape, and if you didn't do this right, and now, you know, magnify my sin, will you? Why not teach me about how to have revelation of what Jesus has provided for me so I can step up a little bit, move on into more, have more understanding? I don't have to be sick another day in my life. I don't have to be poor another day in my life. I don't never have to be afraid of the devil again. That's some bold words. Oh, there's a day and time I could never said that. I want the devil to hear that. Because he might make me sick and might come after me, might try to kill me. But see, there's a day when you just wake up and realize God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. I've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. See, that's how I believe the key to having a resurrected lifestyle is knowing who you are right now. In his place, in his position, at the right hand of God. Been hearing a lot in my spirit about right hand of God, right hand of God. It's all kinds of scriptures been popping out of me. Right hand of God, right hand of God. You know what's at the right hand of God? There's some power at the right hand of God. That's how close we're supposed to be living, is at the right hand of God. seated with Christ as joint heirs with him, whereby we have been given the spirit that cries, Abba, Father, just like he does. And you know, he's the surety of this new covenant. In other words, he's the guarantor. He's the one who says, I'll make sure it all happened. I know he's watching over his word to perform it. His angels even hearken according to the voice of his word. They obey his word. Do you know you can tell your angels to do things for you? I told those angels to go out and bring me that in and bring me that in. And it was at lickety-split, no time, it happened. I can tell you so many things like that. Prayed for these chairs, they came in. I just sometimes think, wow, I just pray for all kinds of things. I'm telling you, pray for something. I just don't pray for nothing. If I pray for something, I expect to get it. Because when you see your weight, you see your authority, that you have audience with God. Now, if I was coming in the presence of God on my own merits, I would not get very far. But see, I don't go to God on my own merits. I don't go to God on my own prestige and my own ability and my own any of that. I go because I know what Jesus is to me. He's my high priest. I have been reconciled to God. There is no sin, therefore, there's no sin. There's no sin. No condemnation. That's what it's talking about. There's therefore now no condemnation. Sin consciousness makes you feel yuck. That's one of the biggies. Get rid of the offenses. When people offend you, forgive them quickly, because if you don't, that root of bitterness can spring up in you and it can cause you to be very condemned. It's not worth it to walk around mad at somebody and upset about something. Give them to God so that yet condemnation, that bitterness and that hurt and all that mess doesn't live there anymore. It doesn't have a place for you. It's just like make yourself as greasy as just grease yourself up good and it can't stick in there. Just wants to. Believe me, it wants to. Offenses want to hang right on, don't they? Like little suction cups. I don't want this. I don't want to think about this anymore. I don't want that anymore. I do not want to be mad at this person anymore. See, that's a thing of the heart. This is the thing of your heart. You say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to think bad about them. I don't want to talk. You ever just have a conversation? You just told somebody off good in your head. How many times have I rehearsed what I would say? But see, that's the devil's arena. That's his arena. That's his stage. Don't go out on his stage and play that. Don't play that part because he'll get whooped every time because you're on his turf now. He only can work through us through our physical senses. And your physical senses are the part that we contact the physical world. I happen to be in the earth. So yes, I do happen to see people and I do hear people and I do hear when they say mean things and I hear when they accuse me and I hear all that. But see, there's a part of me that hears this more. This is louder in me now. There was a time I didn't have any of this. But now I have a filter. Whew, glory, that's good, isn't it? A good filter. I got a filter. Stuff just don't get in me anymore like it used to. There's a filter now, and I have a revelation that this is the tactic of the enemy. Did you know the devil went before? A good example is when he went into heaven and accused Job, God's man, that was so righteous. And he accused him. He found a weakness. He found a spot of weakness in Job. Have you considered your man, Job? You know, it was an accusation. But did you know that the devil's been cast out of heaven? And he's no longer able to accuse us before our God? He did at one time. Mankind was accused before God day and night. But no longer can he accuse us to God. But you know who he accuses us to? Other people and to ourselves. He's been constrained to this earth now. Because Jesus created, there was a cleansing, a separation took place. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he kicked the devil out, took Adam's place at the right hand as the second son of God, as the son of God, because Adam was the first son of God. Now Jesus is there as the son of God, representing me with his blood. God's blood, this covenant. I couldn't have cut a covenant with God, but Jesus sealed the whole Abrahamic covenant with his own blood. Isn't this awesome news? Coming into Resurrection Day, coming into the day, we're celebrating what Jesus really did. And we have to understand what he did. Before you can ever walk in that sinless consciousness, it's like a sinless state of life. I just walk around righteous all the time. I just run around knowing God's eyes are upon me, He hears up in my prayer. I'm just walking with Him, talking with Him. And why would I give all that up? Why give that up for just a few minutes of just feeling good about letting somebody have it? Let's just read a little bit more here in Ephesians. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. Just think about that. All these laws and all these do's and all these don'ts, they constrained us. They just held us, and we were just so conscious of every time we broke one of them. Every time I ever lied. You know, don't tell me you don't know in your lie. You lie. We all do. But the blood of Jesus brings you to a place where you don't want to lie anymore, and you don't have to anymore. You can trust Him for everything now. You know, the lying, part of the lying problem is really a lack of trust in God. But when you have a revelation, the Holy Spirit is in you. When you have this revelation that the Holy Spirit literally is in you, bringing revelation of the Word to you, and that you have a stronger and more sure foundation in Him than you ever did out here in the world by yourself, trying to make it happen. You've got some sure foundation. You know that my God shall supply all my needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know that I have favor with God and man. I have favor with God and man because Jesus had favor with God and man. It's just something you can walk in. Sure foundation. And He's the surety of His word, of this new covenant. I mean, to me, when I read this, I think, wow, He's abolished in His flesh the enmity. There's just no way. The law was an enemy to me. And it was an enmity. It was a problem. I could never have lived up to the law. I could never have lived. But He abolished that. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And so when He literally took that out of the way, and talks about that in Colossians also. There's some scripture references in Colossians about that. Let's look at Colossians 1:22. I'm getting ready to close because I just really wanted to share those. Let's look at Colossians 1:22. Because when you have a revelation that God has not got a ball bat ready to get you, and He's not looking at you through the filter that He had before Jesus, and He sees you through the blood now. He sees you through the covenant blood of Christ. He sees you through His Son. And you know the greatest commandment that He gave us is to love one another, to walk in love, to love each other. And you know why I can love the sinner? Because God so loved the sinner. You know why I can love the meanest people? Because God loves the meanest people. You know why I can have mercy on them? Because God has mercy on them. You know why I can forgive them? Because God already forgave them 2,000 years ago. He already forgave them. So I have no right to hold anything against them. Who am I to hold anything against somebody that God has already reconciled to Himself? Now, my job as a believer who has revelation of this and access to the throne of God and the audience and presence of God is to pray for that sinner, to pray for that lost person who's been blinded and bound by the devil, and bind the devil off their mind, command the devil to take his hands off of them. I have authority over the devil, and I can say, Satan, you take your hands off of that lost soul. I don't care what they're saying about me. I don't care what they're thinking about me. I claim them for the kingdom of God. I say, Satan, get your hands off that soul. You loose them in the name of Jesus. They don't know what they're doing. When Jesus was being nailed, He said the same thing. And you can see those sinners that are mean and hateful and got this wrong thinking about you, totally turned around. How many times have I seen that happen in my life? Because I took time to pray for them from my heart. That they would be reconciled. That they would come to revelation that they've already been forgiven. They're already reconciled. They don't have to go to hell. They don't have to be mad, sad, and bad anymore. They can have full of love and joy and be new creatures too. Amen. And you know, the devil can't do much with you when you're like that. What can he do with you? Not a whole lot. Like you just all greased up with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit working. I wish I had more time. Maybe next week, as the Holy Spirit leads. But I want to read 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, Colossians. Chapter 1, 22? Let's look at 21 and 22. And you that were sometimes aliens and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Did you notice that? Wicked works in your mind. How do you work in stuff in your mind? Believe me, you're usually thinking it before you do it. You're usually thinking it before you say it. Is that right? You got the plan already down, Sam. You know what you're going to do. But look at this. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. See, the mind. Yet now hath he reconciled. Where's that word again? See, that word reconciled. In the mind of God, every single person has been reconciled by the death and burial of Jesus Christ. That's how powerful it was. If we were all, the human race was reconciled to God on that eventful minute and moment. And so he said, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is where I believe the church is really failing the sinner, that we're really failing our families, that we see them as bad and sad, and they are, but they don't know they've been reconciled to God. They don't know that everything's already been forgiven. All they got to do is receive it and accept it. And said, let me show you another verse to kind of clarify this. And I really am going to close. Hebrews chapter. Find it here. Chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. This, verse 22, I've made reference to this. So let's go from 22 all the way down 28. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. In other words, he's the guarantee that anything you can find, any promise you can find in this New Testament, he guarantees he'll see it. You just believe it. See, the devil wants you off your faith. Faith is what accesses all this I'm sharing. You can't access any of this. The sinner can't even. The sinner's got to come to God by faith and believe that Jesus died for him. That's faith. Faith, God gives everybody a measure of faith, and you can develop your faith. But the devil's always after your faith. He's out to take you off a track, your faith. But look at verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, talking about Jesus, this man became because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now, do you think Jesus continued ever just because he was raised from the dead? Let me tell you something about Jesus. He would have continued ever without ever being raised from the dead. He would have continued ever. He would have continued ever had he not been taken to the cross. Adam would have never died in the garden. Sin is what brought death. Jesus wasn't touched by death. He gave up his life willingly. He was our substitute. He let death take a hold of him. He reconciled us through God because he allowed himself to die and become us. Mind-blowing, isn't it? But because God was in Christ, reconciling man back to himself, he had to die. He couldn't have done it. And he could never have taken God's blood back into that Holy of Holies, the real sanctuary, the real mercy seat, the real presence of God, where now we can, through the Spirit, can access the presence of God. And any prayer you can, anything, if you know the will of God is known where the Word of God is known. The Word of God, you can know the will of God. And if you know the Word of God and you know the will of God, then you can pray anything you know God's will on the earth, you can have it. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is earth, by the way. This is earth. The old covenant said, anywhere the soles of your feet shall trod, you shall possess the land. Think of powerful covenant that was, and that was the old covenant, and we've got better promises and better provisions made. And now we have access to the throne of God. They just had the Levitical priesthood. They had the high priest once a year. Their sins were only covered. Ours has been taken away once and for all. And we have Jesus as our high priest. You see, Jesus is our intercessor. He's our high priest because he knew after we got born again and we had been reconciled back to God and we were now new creatures that we were going to mess up. Robots. And we're developing and changing and growing. We're like newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word that we can grow thereby. You know, we can become more mature. You have need of patience after you've done the will of God. You know, all these things we develop. But along our walk in life, because we're still in this flesh, we need forgiveness. So we thank you, Jesus, that the blood is there always. And now the sinner gets redeemed, but the Christian gets forgiven. There is, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In fact, I just don't let it hang on. I get rid of it quick, because sin will hinder your walk with God. It'll hinder your prayer life. I need to walk in my prayer life. I need my prayer life. I need the Holy Spirit working in me in my prayer life. I lean on the Holy Spirit more all the time in getting my prayers answered and getting things done in the earth, because God seems to be asking me to do things that I can't possibly do. And I have learned how to lean on him to get it done. I can't do this and I can't do that, but I know who can. And I know who's in me who can get it done. Because the word is powerful. It's quick. Oh, powerful word. Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And you know, the word is a person. And you release this word in the earth. Jesus is not in the earth, but he commissioned the authority to the body of Christ, because he said, I'm going to heaven. All power is given me in heaven and earth. He was commissioned all this. But he said, I'm going to send you therefore. You go to all nations. You preach this gospel. You preach this word. You preach this message of reconciliation. You have been given a ministry of reconciliation. You've been released and commissioned by God himself to tell the world that God is not imputing their sins against them anymore, that there has been a reconciled moment 2,000 years ago. That's the gospel right there. Church needs to start preaching the gospel to people. Isn't this good news? That's what Resurrection Sunday's all about. Right here. Where was I? Oh, look here, verse 22. By so much, Jesus was made a surety of a better testament or covenant. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And my goodness, if I ever needed some prayers from him in my life. I need you to talk about this, because I don't know how to pray about this. I'm a puddle in the floor here, God. I've uttered my last little voice. Broken, hurt, destroyed. You're going to have to resurrect me. And he does. It's amazing how God does that. It's just, you're just waiting on him to give it to you. You give it to him. He's your high priest. That's his job. He's ever mindful of his children. You know that. You just come to God. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to othermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lived to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate for sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Ever do it again. Glory to God. It's just mind-boggling that the plan of salvation was so awesome and so powerful, and how God's the legal God. He had to do this the legal way. He had to redeem man back to himself legally. Adam's blunder, Adam's transgression was big. And God had to get us back, had reconciled us back. Verse 28, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Chapter 8, verse 1, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is the sum. Here it is. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serveth in the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showeth to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Here's where the church is really, really missing. I'm going to show you something. This is so important. Verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant. Do you want to know what it is? Here's the covenant. Here is the covenant right here. What is this covenant? Why did Jesus go to all the trouble? Why did God go to all the trouble to reconcile man back to himself? And just leave him helplessly wandering around reconciled back to God without any help? Well, what was this plan of this new covenant? Why was it so important that there is a new covenant? And what is this new covenant? Why couldn't he have just reconciled man and made us all live under the old covenant? No, because there had to be a new covenant. And this is it. He's getting ready to tell you what this is. This new covenant. What is this new covenant? What is it? It's the working of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God in the believer's heart that's now been made right with God, who can now inhabit you and be the temple of God. And now you can be his temple in the earth, and you can now sacrifice and bring praises and sacrifice unto God, that God can now receive, because he takes them and makes them beautiful before the Father out of your own heart. And you can pray prayers that are powerful in the earth. And he says, this is it. This is the covenant I will make. This is it. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. We have access as a people to God. We've been given the Spirit of Christ. We're joint heirs. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We're one with him, and we're one with each other. We're in covenant with God through an eternal blood covenant. God's own blood was shed for me and you. Believers have an awesome covenant with God. And if you don't have a word on something and you don't know how to pray about something, you just claim this covenant. This is your right to know how to pray about something. This is your right to walk in victory. It's your right. He purchased this with his own blood. As high priest, he's going to make sure you're the success. He's going to make sure you're made more than a conqueror. He's already more than a conqueror because he's the conqueror. There's no defeat in the body of Christ. Shouldn't be. The enemy knows how to seductively deceive us. But if we keep our eyes on this covenant and on the blood, the mercy seat, you have access there. You'll never be poor another day in your life. You'll never be sick another day in your life. Isn't that good news? This is gospel. This is the gospel. Can we attain to it? I know we can. Can we walk in it? I think we better, because people are depending on us to walk in this. These signs will follow them that believe the covenant, that are walking in the covenant. See, it's by faith, through grace, through faith, through not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Everything God gave us is a gift. Every good thing about God is good. Wow. Almost 1 o'clock. I could just go on and on. So wonderful. 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 I used to be the most fearful person you ever met, the most worrisome person. I come from a long line of worriers. But God is just God. That's all I can say about him, and he's so good. Well, Father, I seal this word today. I seal this word. I thank you for this word. Life-changing, covenant word. I thank you for the opportunity to share this into the hearts of your people and to my heart. Thank you, God, for the revelation of being reconciled to you through the blood, eternal blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you're getting ready to speak out of heaven. Oh, yeah, you're getting ready to speak out of heaven. Yeah, you spoke in the mount, but you're getting ready to speak out of heaven. And I thank you that you're speaking right now out of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for speaking to your people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.